And then we'll have a think together about something of the message of this prophet. Haggai chapter 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, on all the labor of your hand. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty their God on the 24th day of the sixth month. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray and let's ask for God's help. And then we'll have our gracious God and Father in heaven, we thank you that your word is living. It's active, it speaks to us today, and we ask that this old, old book of Haggai would speak a word to us today where we're at, a message we need to hear. Bring us a word in season that helps us to trust Jesus, to put our hope in him, and helps us and calls us to do the things you want us to do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me try and sum up for you this morning the message of Haggai in three words. Okay, you ready? Just three words this morning. Here it is. This is what I think the message of the prophet Haggai is, or the Lord's message through Haggai. He says, build my house. Can you say that with me? Build my house. Now, we're going to need some action, boys and girls, for this morning. So we're going to go like this, okay? Build my house. Can we do that together? One, two, three. Build my house. Now, that was the Lord's message for the people of Haggai's day, the people that he lived amongst. And he stood up like this and he spoke. And that was his message, or the Lord's message, for them. But I think that's also a word that the Lord wants us to hear today. I think this is a word in season for us as a church this morning, especially as we start to emerge from what's been a very unusual time for us as a church, where we've not been able to get busy on the work of church in the ways that we would like to. It's a word from the Lord. What's it? Can we say it together? Build my house. Now, where does the Lord say this? So if you've got a Bible or you're sitting near a grown-up, look at chapter 1 and verse 8. Let's listen to what the Lord says. He says to the people in chapter 1, verse 8, go up into the mountains and bring down timber, and here it is, and build my house. Now, the question that we need to ask this morning is, well, what house is he talking about? What is God's house? So you ready for a bit of history this morning? We're going to go on a bit of a history tour. So we're going to go backwards. And here it is. This is the house that he's talking about. Hundreds of years before Haggai lived, the Lord told his people to build him a house. And that was the temple in Jerusalem. Now, it probably looked a little bit better than this, but you can work with me, okay? This is the temple. And this was the place that the Lord, the Almighty God, chose to live among his people. He dwelt there. Now, of course, a building can't contain God because he's so big and he's so powerful. But this was the place on earth that he chose to put his name. He lived there. He dwelt there. This was the place that people could pray to him. This was the place that people could come and make sacrifices so they could be forgiven of their sins. This was the place that people could come to learn the law, to learn how to live God's way. And the Lord told them to build this, and God lived with them, and God's people lived with him. It was a great thing. It was a magnificent building, a beautiful building. But the Lord's people, they started to turn away from God. They ignored God. They didn't want to learn his law. They didn't want to pray to him. And so the Lord was cross with them. And so the Lord said that he would send a big army if they didn't turn to him and obey him. And eventually the Lord sent that army, a big army called the Babylonians. And the Babylonians came along and they destroyed the temple and they knocked it down, a great big pile of rubble. And they even took some of the people away and they moved them far, far away to Babylon, where they lived as prisoners, where they lived as captives. And this lasted for just over 70 years. And then the Lord, in his kindness, let some of them come back to Jerusalem, come back to the city. But as they returned, the Lord's house, the way he lived among them, was just a pile of rubble. It was in ruins. It lay flat. And when people came back, they started to work on the temple. They laid the foundation. And it looked like it was going really well. But then people opposed them. There were some enemies that tried to stop them and say, "You must stop building this house." And so the foundation was built. But for 16 years, it was just a foundation. And the house of the Lord lay in rubble. It was ruins. Now that's pretty sad, isn't it? And so the Lord sent them a message. He sent them the prophet Haggai. And he sent the prophet Haggai with a message. Can you do it with me? Build my house. And that's the house that he's talking about. Now look at chapter 1, verse 1. If you've got a Bible, boys and girls, see if you can lean in and have a look. Who was this message for? Well, this message was actually, first of all, for a man named Zerubbabel. Let's have a look at chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah. Now, that was like the king. So Zerubbabel was actually a great-grandson of King David. So Zerubbabel was the one in charge. If anyone was going to get the temple building happening again, it was going to be Zerubbabel, this great leader, this great king type person. And it's also a message for somebody else. Can you see who it is? Look at chapter 1, verse 1. Who else was it a message for? For Joshua, the high priest. Now, the high priest would have worked in the temple and would have made the sacrifices and would have taught the people the law. So an important person if you're going to rebuild God's house. And it was also a message, we discover later, for all the people. This was the message that the Lord had for these people. Build my house. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who is so patient with his people, even though they turned away from him, he still wants to live with them. He still wants to make his home with them. He wants them to build his house. Now that says a lot about the Lord, doesn't it? They didn't want to live with him. But he really wants to live with them. So the Lord sent Haggai to say, can we do this together? Build my house. Now, why did the Lord need to send them someone to tell them to build his house? Well, the problem is seen in verse 2. If you've got a Bible, look at chapter 1, verse 2. This is what people were saying. They were saying, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. People were saying, oh, I've got other things to do. It's not time just yet. We can do that later. Now, the Spanish have a phrase for this. It is mañana. I'll do it tomorrow. Can you say mañana with me? Mañana. I've probably not said that right, but there we go. That's what they say. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll put it off and we'll do it another day. Mañana. And that's what the people of God were saying. They were saying, oh, look, I know it's in rubble over here, but mañana, it's not time yet. We'll do it another day. And instead, they were busy over here building their own houses. They were busy building up their own houses, making them look good, and they were putting gazebos up in the garden, and they were painting the walls, and they were doing a bit of weeding, and they were making their houses look beautiful. Look at chapter 1, verse 4. Is it time, Haggai asks, is it time for you yourself to be living in your paneled houses while the house of the Lord remains in ruins? Or chapter 1, verse 9, as we get through that, it says at the end there, because of my house which remains ruined, while each of you is busy with your own home. They were busy making themselves comfortable. They were busy making their houses exactly how they wanted to be. They were busy making their own lives all cushy and comfortable, but they were ignoring the house of the Lord, which means they were ignoring the Lord himself. They were ignoring their relationship with the Lord. They were putting themselves first. But the Lord says to people who were busy building their own houses, he says to them, what does he say? Can you remember? Build my house. Now, what do you think they did? Can you remember as we read? Anyone know? What did they do? Anyone? You're allowed to speak. I know it's got masks on, but you can say something. Okay, let me tell you what they did. Wonderfully, they obeyed God. Look at chapter 1, verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, so this great leader, this son of David, he obeyed the word of the Lord. He starts building the house, and Joshua and all the people with him, they set to work. They start gathering together, and they start building up the temple again. No, it didn't. It wasn't as quick as this. They took a little bit longer, but they started building up the temple so that the Lord's house was built, that the Lord would live among them, that they could pray, that they could have sacrifices for their sins, that they could learn the law, and that the Lord would be right there with them. Now, what a great story, hey? It was in ruins, but the Lord wanted to live with them again, and the people obeyed the Lord, and the Lord lived with him. Now, that's the history lesson over, okay? So if you don't like history, then that's it now. But here's the question we've got to ask this morning. If that's the story, if that's the history, what's that got to do with us? What's that got to do with you and me this morning? Is the Lord calling the same thing to us? Is he saying to us, build my house? Well, the answer is yes. Because he doesn't call us to build a temple made of stones. But he does, if I can turn this round, he does call us to build the church. Because the church today, if we read the New Testament, the church is the temple of God here on earth. The church is the place where the Lord dwells by his Spirit, where his glory dwells today here on earth. The church is built by and built on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those trusting in the Lord Jesus are part of a living temple, not a stone one in Jerusalem, but a living one that's all over the world where the Lord dwells today. He lives among us by his Spirit. The New Testament describes Jesus as the foundation of the church. Everyone builds on him. They trust him. And that's how they gain their place in this living temple. It describes Jesus as the cornerstone. That's the stone through which the whole building holds together. See, I don't know if you knew this, but Jesus is a great-great-great-grandson of Zerubbabel. Did you know that? If you go to Matthew chapter 1, you can check out Jesus' family tree. And he was a grandson of Zerubbabel. And just as Zerubbabel was a great leader who set to work and obeyed God and built the temple back in Jerusalem, so Jesus is a son of Zerubbabel, a son of David, who builds a better temple, a more glorious temple. See, even Haggai, when he was telling people to build the temple in Jerusalem, he was looking forward to a better temple as well. Let me just try and show you from some later parts of Haggai. Look at chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. So it's thinking about this temple, and he says this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea, the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. Someone would come to the temple that Zerubbabel built, someone that all the nations desired, and would fill it with God's glory. Now, who was that? That was Jesus. Jesus came to that temple. Jesus came and filled this earthly temple with the glory as he brought the presence of God into it. And look at chapter 2, verse 9. Remember, Haggai's looking for a better temple than the one in Jerusalem. He says this, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace. The new temple would be a place where people would find peace. That's a much needed thing at the moment, isn't it? Peace with God, forgiveness of our sins, a new peace with one another, because the Lord Jesus helps us to put our relationships right and learn to forgive one another and help one another. And it even means we get a peace in our hearts, a peace that everything's going to be okay because Jesus is coming again and he will put this world right. Peace. Now, where do you find that peace? By going to Jesus and going to the temple. Where are people going to meet Jesus? By coming to the temple, the church, where they're going to hear about Jesus and meet Jesus and put their trust in Jesus. You see, the Lord Jesus, by his death and his resurrection, built a better temple, one that's built on him and a place where we can find peace. Just like the old temple in Jerusalem. If we go to the Lord Jesus now, he's the place we find forgiveness of sins. He's the place that we can be taught how to live God's way. He's the one that we come to for relationship with God. And so Jesus says to us, build my house. And I want to ask some of you, boys and girls, perhaps some of you who are a bit older this morning, are you part of this house? Are you part of the temple of the living God? Are you part of the place he dwells? I'm not talking about whether you come to church, because I know you come to church. I know you can attend a meeting. But to be part of the house, the temple of God on earth, means to be trusting in the Lord Jesus, to be built upon him, to have your place as a living stone in the new temple, the temple which God dwells in. So Jesus says to us, can we do this together? Jesus says to us here, build my house. Now that's an important message for us, whether we're younger here or older. I think this is a word from the Lord for us this morning. Because he wants us to be actively involved, obediently involved, in building up his house here on earth. Now, this isn't a call just to join rotors in a church, okay? This isn't me about to bang on about, hey, we're about to start everything again, and we need loads of people to fill the rotors. Now, this is not a call to fill rotors, although that may be part of how we fulfill this call. Actually, this is a call to make disciples. This is a call to go and tell people about the Lord Jesus so that they might find peace in him. It's a call to help those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus to be built up in their faith and to keep trusting Jesus. This is a call to make disciples. And we need to hear that, don't we? Do you remember that in Jerusalem, the temple lay in ruins for 16 years? Well, actually, we've had 16 months out. I'm not trying to draw a silly parallel, but we've had 16 months out of being actively involved in church in the ways that we were used to, the ways that we were, perhaps some of us, involved in building up the house and making disciples. Well, we've not been able to do that for a while, have we? But it's getting closer and closer to the time that we can. And we need to hear this call of the Lord this morning. Build my house, he says to us. Now, in some ways, we've all been forced into looking after our own houses, haven't we? And B&Q did the best out of many shops during the lockdown, didn't it? Because people were literally busy in their own homes. That's all they had to do, making their paneled houses. But actually, there's all sorts of ways, aren't there, that we have been forced in these last 16 months to be in this looking after ourselves. Me decisions, my happiness, my safety, my pleasure, all those kind of things. And perhaps that's where some of us are this morning. But in the process, what we've done is we've neglected the Lord's house. We've neglected being disciples who are making disciples of others. And maybe this morning, the Lord is just bringing us a word from Haggai to say, build my house. Build my house. Jesus calls us to make disciples, to catch new ones, and to build up those who are already disciples, including ourselves, to give our time and our energy and our prayers and our money to building the house of God here on earth. Is what I'm doing for me stopping me with my relationship with the Lord and helping others to find Jesus as the place to relationship with the Lord to? Now, please don't get me wrong. I don't think the house of the Lord's in ruins. Actually, I think we've seen the Lord doing some wonderful things over this last year. But actually, I still think we need to hear this call afresh. I think it's just come timely for us, hasn't it? We're facing perhaps next week, the week after, some of the restrictions being eased, things getting back to some kind of normal. The danger is, will we stay over here? Will we stay building our paneled houses, making our lives comfortable? Or will we say, no, we need to get back to the work. We need to build the house. We need to make disciples. We need to catch people. We need to build up those who are already believing. So Jesus says to us, can we do it together? Build my house. And do you want to know the good news? So Haggai doesn't just preach that message, build my house. He also has another message for Zerubbabel, for Joshua, for the people who are building. As they start work, he says this. This is what the Lord says. I am with you. Can we say that together? I am with you. Now, isn't that the very same thing that the Lord Jesus said to disciples as he sent them off to make disciples, to build the house of God on earth? So look at chapter 1, verse 13. This is where Haggai says it to the people. Chapter 1, verse 13. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you. The Lord stirred them up to get working. They got busy building the temple. And the Lord said to them, look, I'm right there with you. I'm going to help you. Now, as we get stuck into building the house of God on earth, building the church, Jesus says he is with us always to the very end of the age. That's good news, right? And what that means is this. First of all, we can be strong. Can you give me some strong? Ready? Be strong. That means we can get busy. We can give ourselves to this work. We can really push ourselves in this work. Be strong. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. We didn't read chapter 2, but let me show you what he says. But now, be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, and work. Friends, because the Lord is with us, we can give ourselves to this work. We can put our energy and our time and our effort into building the church. Now, there was a danger for the people. Look at the chapter 2, verse 3. The Lord asks a question. Does it not seem to you like nothing? Sometimes we can be busy, can't we, in the building work of the Lord, and it can seem like nothing. It's a bit unimpressive. Is God really dwelling amongst a group of people like us, by wearing masks in a building in Enfield? Is the living God really here? It's a bit unimpressive, isn't it? But actually, the encouragement comes that the Lord is with us. So keep building, keep working, even when it seems unimpressive. See, the Lord's glory always dwells in his temple. His glory dwelt in the Old Testament temple, but the glory of God now dwells among us. And friends, sometimes when we talk about the glory of God, many of us expect fireworks and the spectacular. But you have to remember that the glory of God often appears in ways that you do not expect it. The Lord Jesus is the glory of God, the Son of God. But what does he do? He comes and he's born in a stable. He's born into a poor family. He works as a carpenter. He dies a brutal criminal's death. That doesn't look like glory, is it? And yet the New Testament tells us that that is the glory of God on display. And friends, we need to remember that as we get busy building the church, it may not look very glorious to tell somebody about Jesus. It may not look very glorious to do some things to help people sit and listen to the Bible taught or a small group, but it is the glory of God dwelling among his people today. So don't lose heart. He says, be strong and build. Build the church. Because it may seem to us like nothing, but the Lord is with us. He really is with his people today. So, what does he say? Be strong and work. But here's the other thing that he says. Because the Lord is with us, do not fear. Do not fear. Look at the end of chapter 2 and verse 5. This is the other thing that he tells them. Very end of it there. Do not fear. As the Lord called his people to build the temple in Jerusalem, they faced a lot of opposition. There was a lot of people who said, oh, no, shouldn't be building that. And they tried to attack the city lots of times. But the Lord says, I'm with you. So do not fear. The Lord wants his house built. So do not fear. And friends, we will face all sorts of opposition. Boys and girls, as you get involved in building the temple, as telling people about Jesus, making disciples, there will be people that make us afraid. They'll tell us that we believe the wrong things. They'll tell us that the views that we have are dangerous. But actually, we want to say, no, I'm not going to be afraid, because the Lord who's with us tells me to build his house. And he will build his house. The Lord Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And the wonderful thing is that he uses the obedience of his people to build his house. He doesn't need to do that, does he? Jesus could have done it in any way he chooses, but he uses people who obey this command, build my house, to build up his temple here on earth. So, here it is. Boys and girls, you've listened really well. This is the message of Haggai. Can we say it together? Build my house. The Lord Jesus calls us, church, to build his house, to build his temple here on earth. And as we do so, he says, I am with you. So, be strong and do not fear. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you this morning that your church is your house here on earth, that you dwell among us by your Holy Spirit. We thank you that the church, not just this local one, but all believers of the Lord Jesus all over this world, is being built by and built on the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you dwell among us by your Spirit. Father, just as you stirred up the people of Haggai's day to build the house, would you stir us afresh, particularly as we come out of a season of church life which has been really abnormal. Please would you stir us with something of the beauty of what church is, that we might be busy, get busy, building your house, that we might be strong and work, that we might not fear those who will tell us we're doing the wrong thing. Father, please, would you build your house here on earth? Would you use us to be part of that great work? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to sing a song, We Are the Church.